Hallelujah. God is on the move. And if you're not moving with him, you're going to get left behind. Amen. Oh, it's going to be a blessed night tonight. So, I'd say probably a couple weeks ago, I went on a little road trip with some brothers and sisters, and got invited in to help do some sewing. Was a bit unexpected. I had some plans that I had already set for that day. Some people in here know what I'm talking about. How many of you know that our plans aren't God's plans sometimes? Amen. And he can wreck your plans pretty good sometimes. So we're off. We're doing this thing. I kind of got thrown into the mix with it. And I said, you know what? I need to die to myself. I need to sow. I need to serve. No matter what I want to do, no matter what I feel, I need to serve. So I made peace with it. I knew that God was on the move and had a holy shift and went on the ride. So we get to the place that we're going. We do the move and whatever we're doing. We load everything up, and it looks like it's about to rain. So I'm already in my mind. I'm going back to my plans. I'm thinking, okay, I'm still going to have enough time to come home and take care of everything I need to take care of. Let's go take care of this real quick, and then I'll get back to doing what I was doing. So ends up pouring down rain on top of us, and we've got to go hide up underneath a roof. And I'm just seeing my entire day just gone, blown, out of here. My plans are donezo. So I am probably at a point of boiling at the time, to say the least. So I just sit there in the car, and I'm seeing the rain pouring down and everything. I sit there, and I just keep my mouth shut. That was the best thing for me to do at the time. Just keep my mouth shut and look to the Lord. And it was hilarious because as I'm sitting there boiling, I could see the Lord, like, off to my left out the window. And there was a barbecue grill. And he was sitting there flipping like this on the grill. And I could see him look back at me with this big smile on his face. And all of a sudden, I saw that he was flipping me. I was on the grill being roasted. So I couldn't help but laugh. I had to laugh. And at that time, it was like peace came over me. And I was like, all right, God, I see what's going on here. You got me. You got me. So we went and we did what we did. And I came back to the house. And the first thought that came into my head was completing what I was going to start. And I said, oh, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. So I said, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And what I heard him say was, call your brother up and go fellowship with your brother, a brother in Christ. And so that's what I did. And we went out. We had a nice time together. Man, got to talk, got to fellowship a little bit. But what was so phenomenal is when we came back, kind of the last thing I was expecting at the time was to run into somebody. And at the time, again, we were both trying to get home. It was getting late, and we had to work the next day and everything. But we ran into this guy, man, and he just was talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And I just immediately was quickened. This dude needs a touch from the Lord. And I had a couple prayer booklets in the truck. Was able to put a couple prayer booklets in the guy's hand. And then the Lord just put it on my heart to pray for him. And so it was kind of wild because the conversation we had, he was talking about churches he had been in and how he had a bad taste in his mouth about church from preachers that were involved in all kinds of shenanigans, drugs and cheating on their wife and all kinds of stuff. So he had this bad taste in his mouth. So he felt like because of what happened in churches, that him not going to church was okay as long as he believed in the Lord and loved the Lord and prayed and fellowship with the Lord on his own time, that he was okay. So it was pretty cool, man. We got to pray this amazing prayer over him, just breaking off all the lies, all the false prophecy, all the false teaching, all the false identity, and severing that stuff and praying that the Lord would give him a fresh touch and that he would bring revelation to him. So in this, the Lord really revealed to me how critical it is in these times that we stay severed from our plans. That we stay severed from our plans and stay open, flexible, and able to move with the Spirit of God in these times. Because there are so many people out there that are deceived beyond measure. And they're waiting for people like us to be there to intervene, to rescue, and to speak truth to them. And to deliver light to them. So in this, a couple years ago, the Lord, he gave me this vision about moving with the Spirit. About getting connected with the Spirit on a deeper level. And being able to move where the Spirit moves. Move when the Spirit moves. And stay connected with the Lord so deeply that you don't miss him. It's kind of a wild vision, man. It goes pretty in tune with this ministry. It was about the Matrix. And so in this time, he kind of brought that back to me, and it really led me to start pressing in more and to start digging deeper. You know, that quickly I could have been at a position to not be there to minister to somebody who was in need. Just from not being connected and being frustrated and not getting involved in what I was supposed to get involved in that day and seeing things through. So in this vision, I know you guys have all seen Matrix. All right, I think I shared this a couple years ago, but I could see Neo, you know, how he's dodging the bullets, he's backing up and everything like that, moving all fast, he's flexible, and nothing could touch him. And in the vision, you know, I saw that it was the enemy throwing fiery darts. Throwing darts of offense and darts of bitterness, darts of rejection, darts of fear, darts of lust, all kinds of stuff that he tries to bombard us with to take us out of position, to keep us from being filled with the Spirit, to keep us in our past. And we were just dodging it, you know, just dodging it like Neo was dodging the bullets. And even when he got hit by one, what did he do? He went to the floor, but he got back up and he kicked butt. So that's what we're called to do. We're called to move with the Spirit. We're called to be flexible. We're called to stay in tune with the Lord so that when those things come, we can dodge them. And we can move with the Spirit of God and be in position for those that are in need. So we're going to go to John 3:1. Everybody there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I love that. I love that when you truly look into the spiritual realm and you see things in the spiritual realm, even though we live in the natural world, that's how we've got to be. We've got to be able to move when the Spirit moves. Flexible in an area where you're unbreakable. And, you know, I was taught a lot going through the discipleship house that I've got to be flexible. I can't be hard. When you're hard, you break. When you're set in your own plans, you're going to get broken. God will come with a wrecking ball and destroy them every time. So we've got to be in a place where we are in tune with him to the point of, what do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with this day? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to handle this situation? He's got to be before us in everything. And every decision, every place you go, everywhere you're at, you're called to be a witness for the kingdom of God. You go to Publix to go grocery shopping, you need to be on your P's and Q's. There may be somebody there who needs a touch from the Lord. When you are truly connected with the Spirit of God the way you're supposed to be, you see those things. You move in flexibility, and when the Spirit says go, you go. There's no hesitation. There's no thinking about it. You move. And that's what he is calling us to in these times. Complete trust in God's plan produces obedience. Faith will cause you to obey no matter what you feel, think, or see. Because you know that God is in control, and if he is for you, then nothing can be against you. Let's go to Hebrews 11. So in this, we know it takes a lot of practice. This is not something that happens overnight. It's not something that you come into the discipleship house and 3 days later you got it mastered. There's a process of killing your flesh. There's a process of practicing the divine nature and severing yourself from the old nature. Without practice, there is no perfection. Amen? So this has got to be something that we take serious. This has got to be something that is not tossed by the wayside. It's got to be something constantly in your mind, in your spirit, that you are in a war. You have a call, a purpose, a destiny to fulfill. You've been ordained by God. You've been handpicked by the throne room of God. What an honor and a blessing that is, that we've been brought into this place to learn truth. Don't throw it away. Don't waste it. There are so many people out there that are hurting, that are suffering, that are sick, that are dying, that are addicted, in the same state of being that you were in not too long ago. Don't take it for granted. It is a high call, but it is an honor and a blessing to be a part of the kingdom of God and to be a part of this ministry, man. How blessed are we? Amen? All right, Hebrews, what did I say? 11:5. So we know that we're nothing without faith. We know that without faith, we are absolutely nothing. You cannot please God without faith. So, read along with me. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to the faith. Now, can you imagine if Noah was not in position with the Lord and he heard that order from the Lord to build the ark? What would have happened? The effect that would have had on the entire world, on the future people to come. If he was not in divine order with the Lord and didn't see things through by faith and walk in obedience, there's no telling what would have happened. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place of which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, and multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And let's go to 2 Kings 5. Now, I know, and we all know this person, but there's a real Holy Ghost genius that said something very profound. And she said, if you don't do the will of God, you don't get the will of God. So in everything that we just read, if those individuals didn't walk by faith, if they didn't walk in obedience, they didn't abide in the will of God, they wouldn't have got the will of God. They would have lost out on all the blessing. They would have lost out on all the freedom. They would have lost out on the inheritance. So obedience is critical. The word says, if you love me, you will obey me. Everybody there? 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, a commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. So I don't know if everybody sees that, but you know, Syria did not, they did not worship the God of Israel. They did not worship the God that we worship. They worshiped a false god. But it says here that this man, Naaman, had victory because he had favor with the Lord. So what I see in that is that God had a predestined purpose and destiny for this man, just like each one of us. We were all walking in darkness. We were all bound by all kinds of stuff, worshiping false gods, idols, addicted to drugs and alcohol. But even in all that mess, God had a purpose and a plan and a destiny for us, a way of escape. Amen. And it says, he was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. And this is where it gets pretty interesting. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. So he gave him a direct order. A direct order from the throne room of God. This is how your healing is going to come. If you obey it, you'll be washed clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. So this dude almost missed his blessing because of pride. How many times have we missed blessings? How many times have we missed the Lord and fallen out of position because things didn't go the way we saw that it should go? We had our own vision. We had our own destiny plan. We had our own things going on. And because they didn't come to pass in that way, we took off. It is critical that you humble yourselves, submit to God, and follow the orders of the Lord. Critical. So he says, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. How many people have we seen do that? Praise God. How many times have we done that? And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? So pretty much in a nice way, he said, man, humble yourself. What the heck's wrong with you? You're about to get healed. Do what the man says. So he humbled himself. He went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth. For your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods but the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes in the temple of Ramon to worship there, and he leans on my hand and I bow down in the temple of Ramon, when I bow down in the temple of Ramon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. So not only did this guy get healed, but he got saved. He received the Lord. He decreed and declared that there was no other God but the God in Israel. And he even asked that he would be forgiven when he has to go back to his master and go into the false god worship temple. So this guy was in divine position to receive a blessing, got frustrated, got angry, but he humbled himself and he walked in obedience. He received the blessing and he met the true God. God is a multidimensional God. He was setting this up for who knows how long. And he's been setting it up for each one of us for who knows how long. To move in obedience, to move in divine position, to accept the word of the Lord, to humble ourselves, to repent, to turn, and to get washed clean. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it. I want to be in divine position so that what I've gotten, I can give to other people. And that's what it's all about. Being in divine position so that we can rescue the lost. Amen. Let's go to 1 Kings 19:19. How many of you know that the decisions you make today affect not only your tomorrow, but many other people's tomorrow? The decisions we make have a ripple effect. So in this, we're going to see how critical it is that we take heed to the call of the Lord. That we don't drop the ball. We don't get selfish. We don't get prideful. We humble ourselves. We submit to God. And we walk in obedience. Because there are so many people out there who are in need of us. There are people that each one of us in this room are predestined to rescue. To be a part of their rescue. We are called to be signs, miracles, and wonders on this earth. And the decisions that we make will either promote that or destroy it. And when you're not in position and you miss those opportunities, you reap for that. Because you've been entrusted with knowledge that not a lot of people get. And it has been predestined by the Lord that we receive this knowledge and that we bring it to the people that are out there in need. So don't take it for granted. 1 Kings 19:19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back for what? What have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people. And they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So we see that Elisha took heed to the call. He severed everything in his life, cut ties with everything, and went after Elijah and walked in the perfect will of God. Now, when you look at this, had he made the decision to not walk with the Lord, the ripple effect would have been Naaman would have never got healed. Naaman would have never met the Lord. He would have never got saved. So we see that in this, that is our calling. If you decline the call of the Lord, people are not going to get saved. It is critical that you fight with everything that's within you to hold on to what the Lord has brought you to. 1 Samuel 10. This is a guy who was anointed and appointed by the Lord, had a high call on his life, and he declined the call. He had his own plans, he had his own purpose, he had his own destiny. He took the plans of the Lord and he tried to critique them and add little things to them because he felt like he was smarter than the Lord. First Samuel 10, verse 1. All right. It says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it out on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to a terebinth tree of Tabor. There, three men going up to God in Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instrument and tambourine and flute and harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And it goes on to say, like, he gets back around his family and everybody, and they don't even recognize who he is. All right, so this is a proven point of view that you can be anointed and on fire one day, but if you're not maintaining it, if you're not fighting for it, if you're not walking in it, and if you're not kicking the devil's butt every day, day in and day out, you will lose it. You will lose it. Pride will come in. You will begin to make your own plans. You will begin to hear the word of the Lord and do part of what he's telling you to do, but you'll add your little stuff to it. And that's exactly what Saul did. He ended up in pride. He walked in pride. And every bit of his inheritance, his children's inheritance, his freedom, everything was stripped from him. His anointing was stripped from him. And he ended up walking in a distressing spirit. So in this, there are three keys to maintaining your faith, connection, and relationship with God. Discipline, consistency, and obedience. We must be disciplined to consistently pursue and destroy our enemies so that we live and walk in obedience in every area of our lives. Let's go to Colossians 3. I know that a lot of us in here have children. A lot of us in here, every one of us in here has family, friends, people from our past that we would love to see saved. We would love to see delivered and healed. They're counting on us. They're counting on each one of us in this room to stay in position, to fight for our freedom so that we can fight for their freedom. Hallelujah. Everybody there? I'm not. To God be the glory. What did I say? Colossians 3? Praise God. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Whose responsibility is this? It's our responsibility. If you see yourself dealing with something, if you're dealing with lust, you fight that thing until it's gone. You pursue your enemies with everything that's within you until that thing is dead. And then you keep pursuing that thing. Because just because it's dead one day doesn't mean it's not lurking around the corner waiting for you to slip up and allow it back in. We've got to be in a constant state of mind where we are on attack always. If you're not on attack, you're going to be attacked. And you're going to be taken out. So we've got to constantly be examining ourselves, seeing the things that the enemy is trying to throw at us, whether it be lust, whether it be fear, whether it be disobedience, whether it be rebellion, whatever it is, you see it and you attack it. You become the Word of God. If you're not practicing this, you're not becoming it. If you're not becoming it, then you're becoming more like the enemy and you're going to fall back to the old man. We have got to practice these things and see them through. Consistently seeking the Lord, consistently warfaring against the enemy, fighting for position and freedom. Because it's not only about you, it's about those that are out there in need of what the Lord's given you. Amen? And let's go to Psalms 101. So in this, there is an area of commitment that the Lord requires. And in these times that we're in, he is seeking the hearts of his people to find who is fully committed to him. Not partially, not halfway, not when they feel like it, not when they want to do it, but fully committed. Through and through, sold out. That is where we need to be. That is where we're supposed to be. Psalms 101. And that's the title of the teaching, Fully Committed. Psalms 101, 1. This is the heart of a warrior, which is where we all need to be. I will seek of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land. that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. Psalms 18, verse 31. So if you're not getting up first thing in the morning kicking the devil's butt, he's kicking your butt all day. Amen? First strike, it must be priority. Warfare in the morning must be priority. Connection with the Lord in the morning must be priority. Digging deep in the morning with the Lord must be a priority. If you want to reach the master's level, if you want to show the Lord that you're fully committed, if you want to be in position to receive complete freedom, total freedom for you, for your family, for your children, and be in position to rescue those that are in need. Digging deep is what it's going to take. Soulishness, selfishness, desires of the flesh, what you feel like doing, what you want to do, is not going to get you where you're supposed to be. This is a time and season where sowing is critical. It is a necessity, and you're not going to make it if you're not. You're not going to be in position if you don't. And far be it that we miss everything that God has for us to do. I don't want to miss those that are in need of what God has ordained me to give. I want to be a part of the miracles. I want to be a part of the signs and wonders. I want to be a part of the end time revival. I want to be positioned for that. But you can't give what you don't have. So if you're not digging deep, you're going to have nothing to give. And that is what we are in position for, is to give, not to take. Amen? So in this, in everything that we do, in everything that we're a part of, and all the decisions that we make, our main objective and desire is to be pleasing to Him. It's not for us. It's not to be blessed. It's not to get things. It's not for finances. Although that is a benefit when you dig deep and you stay in position, the Lord shows up and shows out in your life. But it's because we want to please Him. I don't come to worship here on Tuesday nights, Friday nights, Sunday mornings because I have to or because it's a duty. I love to worship the Lord. I love it. I can't live without it. I've tried and failed. If I'm not here and I'm out of town somewhere, I'm dying to get back here. I can't stand it. And that's a place that we've all got to be. You've got to be in that place where you're so hungry and thirsty for the Lord. You can't miss church. You don't want to miss church. Nothing will cause you to miss church other than you are sick as can be or you're just not here. You're out of town. But even in that, your desire is to be in His presence. But to get to that place where nothing else matters but Him takes fighting. It takes digging. It takes destroying the enemy. It takes seeing those things that are attacking you, seeing those things that are strongholds from your past and destroying them. Not seeing them and sitting there and saying, well, whatever, we'll just shoot that off. No, you attack that thing. I bind that thing in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, you kill it. You pursue it, you destroy it, you break it down, you get rid of it, and you keep moving. You practice destroying the enemy daily. You sever the old, you step into the new. Sever the old, step into the new. Amen? Psalms 18:31. Everybody read it with me. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn my back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. Go to Romans 6:15. Are you fully committed? If you're not, I pray you will be after today. So many times people forget where they came from. They come in, you get free, you get some freedom, you start to grow a little bit, and you start to get a little ground back, and then your head gets big. You get puffed up, you fall off. Don't forget where you came from. I don't care if you've been doing this 15 years, man. Everybody's one decision away from falling off. One decision away from falling off. I'm one decision away from falling off. So in every day, you've got to constantly be searching yourself through, examining yourself, and allowing the Lord to bring conviction, to bring counsel, correction, and direction, and to bring protection. There's people positioned in your lives that you are called to submit to and be obedient to, no matter what. You step out of that, you open yourself up to the enemy. Whether you like what they say or not, you submit to the Lord. You be obedient to what he's commanded you to do, and you watch him bear fruit in your life. Obedience will take you far, far, far in the kingdom of God. You will see your life change. You will see freedom come within your life, within your family, within your children. You will see doors open up that will never open any other way except through obedience. Romans 6:15. Constant exchange is a necessity. Exchanging the old for the new. Severing the old nature for the divine nature. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. When we were out there in the world, we would do any and everything to get what we wanted. It's time here in this place to do any and everything it takes to please God. Amen. Where do we leave off? 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, there's an area where we're fighting to get free. You know, you start out, everybody in here is on a different level of connection with the Lord. There's an area where you're starting off when you're fighting to get free. But then you get to a place where you cross over. Your main objective is to please the Lord. And if you're not practicing the Word of God, you're not becoming the Word of God. Now, last Friday night, during worship, it was powerful. Worship was just amazing Friday night. I started having this vision. I could see people driving stakes. And I'm watching this, and I'm seeing it as we're worshiping, and I could just see people with the big sledgehammer, and they were driving a stake. And I saw one, and then I saw another one, and there was like four corners. And then I could see a tent coming up. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, what the heck is this? And the Lord said to me that revival is here, that He is releasing His fire to His people, and that we are the tent. We are the revival. And in that, what I saw in it is that we've been positioned in this place to not only be set free, but to be useful to Him for His kingdom, for His glory. So the revival isn't for us to be revived. It's for us to be out there to bring the revival. And that is what I saw clear as day, that there is fire being released and that it is time to press in so that you don't miss it. If you're not pressing in, you're not sowing in the Spirit, you're not seeking Him with everything that's within you, you're going to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I do not want to miss it. I know that there are things that I'm supposed to be doing. I know there's things that each one of us in this room have been called to do. And if you're not in position, if you're not connected, it will go right past you. It doesn't matter if God preordained it for you to be doing certain things for certain individuals. If you step out of position and make decisions in disobedience, you're going to miss it. The only thing that prevents God's promises from coming to bear fruit is us. We prevent them. What He says will come to pass, but it takes cooperation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9:19. You know, back in the days after Jesus died on the cross, and the Holy Spirit took over the people of God, these people were on fire. They didn't care. They didn't care what anybody said. They didn't care what people tried to do to them. They were on fire for the Lord, and they were going to tell any and everybody they could. They took beatings. They took stonings. They took murder, whatever. They were not afraid to preach the gospel of Christ. They were not afraid to perform signs, miracles, and wonders. We are supposed to be out there laying hands on the sick, healing people, touching, changing, and healing lives. But we restrict it. We put God in a box. Through lack of faith, lack of belief, we say that we believe that we can heal the sick and we can cast out demons and all that stuff, but we limit Him in our actions, in our disobedience, in our lack of confession, in our lack of becoming the Word, in our lack of seeking, in our lack of pressing in. It's a fun thing to talk about doing these things, but we need to be doing them. We need to be doing this stuff. We need to be practicing these things. We are supposed to be out there touching lives, out there praying for people. Man, there's been times I've been working and been hot and sweaty and tired, and I go somewhere and I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I'm hot and I'm thinking about myself. And I had to repent for that stuff. I'm called to be a light everywhere I go. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter how hard I worked. Doesn't matter what I had to do that day. Doesn't matter who I had to deal with that day. I am supposed to be a light for the kingdom of God. And that is what we are supposed to be doing right now in this time. So any unbelief, any doubt that the Lord can't move through you to touch, change, and heal lives, to actually heal the sick and see somebody get up and walk that is lame, you need to get in your prayer closet and seek the Lord and believe and receive that you are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, and that the same miracles that Jesus performed are in you and waiting for you to tap into that power and go out there and do it. Amen. Don't let the enemy sell you short of who you are. Do not let the enemy steal your identity and who you truly are. And don't half-step it. Don't believe it halfway. Believe it all the way. God is either a God of all things possible or not. And tonight, he needs to be a God of all things are possible. Because things are happening in this world that are off the chain, that are crazy, that we've never seen before. And those devil worshipers, they're out there pressing in. They are pressing in with everything they have. They stay up all night and chant and channel demons and conjure up spirits and are praying against us beyond measure. And we need to have the same discipline. We need to be consistent, to be disciplined in prayer, be consistent in being obedient, be consistent in seeking the Lord, and be consistent in believing who we truly are. The word says that we will do greater signs than these. So we need to be doing it. Don't let the enemy sell you a lie. You're not too tired. You didn't work too hard. You have the Spirit of the living God within you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power within each one of us. Start using it. Start using it. Cooperate with it. Press into it. Don't let the enemy sell you short. Once you have walked in obedience consistently, you reach a level of commitment to the Lord that is well-pleasing to him. And maintaining this level of commitment, you become useful to the Master, divinely positioned to bring a way of escape to the lost. This is our destiny. I'll say that one more time. Once you have walked in obedience consistently, you reach a level of commitment to the Lord that is well-pleasing to him. In maintaining this level of commitment, you become useful to the Master, divinely positioned to bring a way of escape to the lost. This is our destiny. And I'm going to close at 2 Samuel 8:18. So this is kind of a strange scripture. I was at work a couple weeks ago, and I was on my break, and I was just conversating with the Lord. I was on my break, just conversating with the Lord, just blessing him, and I heard him clearly say, 2 Samuel 8:18. I was kind of blown away that it was that precise, like, direction, that clearly, like, exact scripture or whatever. So I opened up my Bible app on my phone, and I read it, and it says, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and David's sons were chief ministers. And so I'm reading that, and I was like, so you're trying to show me something about Benaiah and Jehoiada and Cherethites and Pelethites and all this stuff. And so I was kind of like, man, what the heck is this? And so I read it again and I stopped. And I just listened. And I heard him say, look at it again. And when I looked at it, all I saw was chief ministers. And he said, this is what I'm calling my people to be right now, to me. We are to be chief ministers to the Lord. Not to ourselves, not to our wives, not to our family members. Chief ministers to the Lord. That is a high call. And it's something that we can't take lightly. We can't take for granted. We have got to bless him in everything that we do. That has got to be on the heart of every Christian globally, is to minister to the Lord. If you can't minister to the Lord, you can't minister to anybody. We hear it all the time. We hear it all the time. So keep that within you, that your main priority, your main purpose is to minister to him. And he'll bring everything else. He'll position you. He'll deliver you. He'll free you. He'll bring blessing. He'll establish you. You minister to him. You seek him. You bless him. And he'll take care of the rest. Consistently discipline yourself to be obedient and to kick the devil's butt. Do not accept the lie that those voices are yours. Those thoughts of agreement are yours. They are not yours. This is who you are. We have to become this. If you're not becoming this, you're becoming more like the old man. Decree it, declare it, live it, practice it day in and day out. Don't give up. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and we bless you. We thank you, Father, for freedom, Lord. We thank you for freedom to serve you. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't give us what we deserved. Father, I ask that you cause each one of us in this room to not take it for granted. I ask, Lord, that you would cause us to be revived in fire, to bring an awakening to your people, Lord, to bring the truth to your people. There are so many Christians out there that are lost, that are deceived, that are walking in false teaching, that are walking in false identity, Lord. I ask that you cause us to take heed to the call to bring fire to your people, to bring a fresh touch to your people, Lord. Cause us to get in tune with you so that we are so connected with you that you are pouring out of us everywhere we go. We commit our lives into your hands, Lord. We commit this night into your hands. We thank you and we praise you. We bless you, Lord.